an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so excited to be hosting this show today. Ciao, everyone. I was just talking to my mom on the phone just before the show, and she was telling me that some friends were going to be listening in. And the specific friends she was talking about were friends of hers that grew up in this little island off of a little town in Sicily. I was thinking, when these people were born, there was no TV. Maybe there was radio. I don't know, but they live in this little remote town that it took a while for things to get there as technology started to improve, and now they're in America. But years later, they're listening to her son on the internet. this is amazing to me. So I'm excited about that. I'm also excited because we have Susie Pruden on the show, and Susie's so interesting. She has led a fascinating life as far as I'm concerned, and I can't wait to share Susie's story with you and have her share it and her change, transformation, and how she helps people transform their lives. But before we bring Susie on, I wanted to talk about dreams and the human spirit. Interestingly enough, I saw on Facebook one of my actual acquaintances had pictures of him in a Broadway musical, and he was standing underneath the marquee with his name or whatever on the marquee, and there was a picture of him so proud. And then the next day, I receive an email from another friend of mine saying that she was excited because she got a major part in a major Broadway musical. And so I wrote to her with so much excitement that she had achieved her dream. Now, I won't say who she is, because you all might know her, because she has done many Broadway musicals, and she has done much on television and films and all over the place, actually, many plays and won awards. But the kind of life that she has had, because of the way a lot of people that are these kinds of celebrities, the way they live their lives, they make money, then they spend it, and then they have a job, and then they don't have a job, and today they're somebody, and tomorrow they're nobody. And it's this yo-yo of a life. But that's not the part that I really wanted to talk about. In this yo-yo part of life, all she ever dreams of, really, and talks about, is doing musicals and being playing a part in a major play, doing a part in a movie or on television. She is very good. And if this were sports, she'd be in the NFL, although we don't always look at people that do plays and Broadway like that, although she has won her awards. But she dreams of this. And so all of a sudden, she reached her dream yet again and came out of poverty and not having any money and not having any parts and going from one audition to the another, being rejected and almost getting this, and then to finally getting a big part in a big musical. And she was really excited, and I was very excited for her. Now, that's her dream. And for some reason, after having seen one of my other friends excited about him having been in that musical or being in that musical and her sending that email, I started to think, in order for her and them to fulfill their dreams, somebody else had to have a dream. And I'm thinking, there was once a boy who wanted to write music. And maybe somebody told him he couldn't or shouldn't, or that's not how you make money, or that's not what you should do. But he had a dream, and he stuck to that dream because he wanted to write music, and that's what he dreamt about. And then there was another boy or a young lady who wanted to write a story, and she wanted to write plays and books, and maybe people told her she couldn't and shouldn't, but she did. And then one day these two people got together and they decided they were going to dream together and write a musical. And they dreamt of seeing it on Broadway. And then there was somebody all the way on the other side of the world, perhaps, who said, one day I want to own a theater. And I want to have Broadway musicals in that theater. Somebody else who dreamed that one day I'm going to buy a plot of land and I'm going to build a theater. And someday somebody's going to buy that theater and do beautiful things in there. There was somebody else who dreamt of being a finance person who said, I want to finance art. I want to help musicals get onto the stage. And that person was brought somehow energetically together with the two people that created a musical. And that musical was made up of two people that had different dreams. And then there was somebody else who dreamt of, I want to choreograph. And I'm dreaming of someday choreographing on Broadway. And so that happens. And all of this coming together, somebody else who dreamt, who maybe as a child used to paint the walls of their bedroom and used to get in trouble for it. And every month you would walk into their bedroom and there was a different scene or something. And that person dreamt of someday growing up to paint scenes or create scenes for Broadway musicals. And somebody brought to him or her this particular Broadway musical and said, can you create a scene? And they said, are you kidding? That's my dream. And then after this is all said and done, there was somebody else that dreamt that someday they could afford to fly to New York and see a Broadway musical, that was their dream. And so they are able to do that because so many other people dreamt their dreams. And somebody else who might be gifting their wife or husband a ticket to a Broadway musical because it's their anniversary or their birthday. And then somebody else who dreamed of an award ceremony where they could honor their friends or people in the field for the musicals and for the plays that were presented on Broadway. We could go on and on and on. And it baffled me as I thought of this, how we are all connected by these dreams, or better yet, by the human spirit, to live out these dreams. And so when I was finishing this thought process, it struck me that the very musical that this friend of mine got the part in that started this whole chain of thoughts for me is Billy Elliot. And it's a musical about a boy who wants to be a dancer, but his father wants him to learn how to box. And his father was against him and his dream. And the boy, whose mother passed away, had written him a note before she died, and it said, be you. Strive to always be you. And the boy shared this note once with his ballet teacher and said, this is all I want to be. And the transformation of a world, all the way down to my friend who got the part in this musical, all because this one boy dreamt of dancing. And he was being him and not what everybody else told him he should be or wanted him to be. Now, whether or not the Billy Elliot story is based on a true story, it doesn't matter because everybody's dream is tied in together. And it's a story that appeals, of course, to overcoming odds and each one of our human spirit, but it's something that sparked this whole thought of how we are all connected with our dreams. And so I dreamed of having a radio show, and here I am. And I met Susie one day, and I dreamed that she was going to be on the show. And today, we have Susie Pruden on the show. Now, Susie is the author of 13 books, including the best-selling Susie Pruden's Itty Bitty Weight Loss book. She actually is so many things. She's an award-winning international speaker, along with being a best-selling author. She does workshops and seminars and leads them, and she's also a business and personal coach. Now, she also is the winner of the Women in Business Most Inspirational Speaker Award and the International Federation of Hypnotists 2001 Award for Excellence for Integrated Therapies, and in 2006 for a Lifetime Achievement Award. She has been the guest on over 1,000 radio and television shows as an expert, including The Oprah Show. And Oprah herself said about Susie that if you want, what did she say? In order to heal your relationship with your body, you have to go inside. And the answers are all in Susie Pruden's book, Change Your Mind, Change Your Body. So she's also been the guest on the Today Show and Good Morning America. And today we are happy to have her as the guest on Life Changes. Susie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being part of our dream.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about dreams. You know, I after we talked earlier today, I went back and looked at the flyer, and I'd forgotten that that the name of your show was Life Changes, and I started to laugh because when you and I spoke, we spoke of all the life changes that I have been through, which got me to this point in time. And when you're talking about dreams, my dream has always been to do a television show.
Mm.
And last 2 weeks ago, I just completed filming a reality show, which will be coming on sometime next spring.
Oh.
And it's an interest. Having a dream is a very interesting thing. You, no matter what happens in your life, hold the dream, because it doesn't matter when it comes. Everybody needs a dream. And the Billy Elliot story is very, very inspiring. And that's an interesting way to start the show, in that, you know, that every dream is connected. And so if you let go of your dream, how many other people's dreams will not be fulfilled?
Absolutely.
And I remember one time being told I had to give up my dream. And it was a very, very hard day. I was in real trouble financially, and I went to help from somebody, and they told me to, I was in my 50s, they told me to basically grow up and get a job as a secretary. Now, at the time I was doing hypnosis, I still do hypnosis, but just thinking I can make more money in 2 hours doing hypnosis than working in an office, and besides, I'm not hireable. I've been too independent for too long. But what was interesting was I was told to give up my dream. So I went back home feeling as if I had a million pins in my, you know, so that all the air was out of me. And I'm lying in bed that night, barely able to breathe. And I'm thinking, okay, you asked for an angel. This is who showed up. This man must be your angel. What's the gift? Because that's how I approach everything. And I thought, well, the first gift is that I will never do that to anybody, what was just done to me.
Mm.
And that my dream must be pretty important for this kind of stuff to come up to to test me. That was one thought. And the other thought was that I will absolutely go for my dream, and I will commit to helping others achieve theirs, which is what I've been doing in my work in these since that time, one way or another.
Well, which is how you and I met originally,
right,
almost a year ago or so. And when I heard you speak, I knew you would be interesting, and I knew there you'd have a great you or you did have a great story to tell. And then you and I talked about this show today, and all of a sudden I thought, wow. I mean, I had thought I had known so much about you, and I knew we had so much to talk about. But then you touched on something life-changing that, and you just touched on it now, actually, that I thought, wow, if she would open up about this on the show, this would be really, really special. So I'm going to go ahead and go right to it. You of course, were on all these shows, and you were the expert. You had shows of your own, and you were the kind of person that, especially in New York, if you walked down the street, people recognized you.
Yeah, they used to call across the street. I did a lot of show TV in New York. I had my own show for a while in New York. But I was on a show for about 2.5 years called The Prime of Your Life, which aired every Sunday. It was live, and it was a show for the elderly. So when I would leave NBC with my husband, we would always go out to brunch. It was our Sunday ritual. So we would be walking up 6th Avenue. There was a restaurant that we liked on 6th and 57th. And as we're walking up and people would be walking down the other side of the street, they would see me and then call across to me. Things would happen to me, like I'd be going through the place where you check in your bags at the airport, and the person would look at my ticket and go, "You're that Susie Pruden?" Or I would, it was funny. And then I'd be on the telephone talking to American Express, and they would say, "You're that Susie Pruden?" So it was interesting, very heady. It's very, very heady to be a celebrity.
Well, that's why this is so important that you're bringing this up, so that the audience knows, especially the younger generation who might not remember or know of the Susie Pruden, that yes, you were there, you had it all going for you, and you gave it up.
I walked away. And it was an emotional time for me. I had just gone through a divorce. I had just sold my business. And I was at the height of my career. I was in magazines every other month doing fitness, spreads. I mean, I was really a household name. And I couldn't do it anymore. And I don't know the whys of it. I just couldn't do it. People would say to me, "Well, why can't you do what you've always done?" I said, "I just can't do it anymore." And, I walked away. And I made some major mistakes. And I listen to people today who are so nervous about what's going on with the economy and searching for what to do in business and wanting to shift what they're doing and basically do what I did, which is throw the baby out with the bathwater. And what I do now is in coaching, and it came to me by accident, I didn't seek this out, was keep people from destroying themselves because they don't want to be doing what they've been doing, or help them create something because what they've been doing doesn't exist anymore. It's a very, very interesting time. And I basically lost it all. And as I was telling you earlier, I'm lucky I have great friends, because I spend a lot of time on different people's couches. And I have really fantastic friends. And it was a scary in the beginning, because I didn't know what to expect, but it was so freeing, because I didn't have to be anybody. I didn't have to prove anything. I had, you know, one minute I had everything, and the next minute I had basically nothing. And when you go through that experience, it really teaches you how you really don't need a lot. You need yourself. And I never, ever, and this is very important, I never let go of my dream. Hmm. Never. I didn't talk about it. I didn't, you know, it wasn't, it was not something that I would, it's just something I held very close to my heart. And that's how I believe I actually was able to create it, because I held it close to my heart. And because I didn't, you know, talk about it a lot, it was my dream.
Now, Susie, you, I'd like to get into how you transformed yourself from where you were to where you are now, and how you are helping people do that. But again, in our talk today, you touched on something so candidly that you knew your importance, and you let it be known, right?
Yes. And you're going to have to remind me. I've had a long day since I talked to you.
I wasn't sure if you just didn't want to go there, and I thought, oh, I need to change the subject. Well, it was, I think I poignantly...
You mean when I became an arrogant person who is impossible to be around, and I looked down my nose on anybody who wasn't as big and as important as me? Is that what you're referring to? This is very funny. Filippo, this is very good, because I really did. I mean, if you didn't have the right, I don't know how I came to be that arrogant. Well, you know, when you start to believe your own PR, it does get in the way. And because I was famous at an early age, I was 29 when I started to become really well known, and that's a very young age. And I had no training in celebrity. I don't think anybody that age, I don't think anybody does. And so I was extremely arrogant, and I could be very unnice. And that's a polite way of saying a real, am I allowed to say bitch?
You just did.
Yeah, I know.
you are.
But it was, you know, you, when you live in the milieu of you're important and you can do no wrong, you begin to believe it even though it isn't true. So in one day, and I remember I had a beautiful home in Topanga, just exquisite home in Topanga. And one day I got a notice from the bank that my rent check bounced. And that same day, every job that I had lined up for myself for the coming year, this was in February, canceled. Every single one. And I said to myself, this is not an accident.
Mm-hmm.
This is a message. And I remember sitting in my kitchen looking up at the ceiling and saying, and I meant it too, thank you, God, you must really love me to give me this experience, because it will change my life. And it did.
Mm.
It really did. And so I got a job for a while, which is something that I hadn't had. I was in my 40s at the time. I got a job for a while, which is something I hadn't had since I was 22. And it was very humbling. And I just started to change my belief system. And I started to look at what was important. And being Susie Pruden as a celebrity was not important.
Mm.
Being real was important.
Susie, having met you more than a couple times now, and I just saw you, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? I can't see that person you're describing.
Well, actually, people can't anymore, because she doesn't exist.
And I do have to believe that there was a reason for all of what happened, because if this is the result, it's such a beautiful thing to behold.
Thank you. And that is my belief. And when I said to God, sitting in my kitchen, you must really love me to give me this experience, I knew that who I was to become, number one, was who I needed to be, but also that the journey that I was about to embark on was going to create that person. And I do believe that that is what has occurred. And the work that I do today, especially because people are going through such, they're scared. And right. So what I want to do is to give people tools so that they can, number one, let go of their fear. Or, you know, it's like what Susan Jeffers says, feel the fear and do it anyway. Get through the fear. Get through the, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? And help people achieve their goals. And I started as a weight loss specialist. I had a huge company until last summer, Positive Changes Hypnosis. And it closed last July. And in its closing, it freed me to be me. And what I do now, I started off really coaching people and working with hypnosis to help people lose weight. But everybody that's been coming to me recently or that I've been talking to on the telephone, because I work with clients all over the world on the phone, have been talking about their business and what are they going to do to make money. And somehow I know, and I don't know how I know, but I know. So I began to, you know, when someone would say, well, I'm doing this, and this, I said, well, what if you did it this way and this way and this way? And they said, my God, what a great idea. And well, so... It just evolved out of me having gone through my own experience of having to recreate myself to helping people now really recreate themselves and create themselves in such a way where they can achieve their dreams and their goals. Because you don't want to take away somebody's dream, but you don't want to let them be stupid in trying to achieve it.
Yeah, you... First of all, I have to say you're obviously, at least obvious to me, that you're intuitive, so you do connect and pick things up. But yes, your past experiences, when we were talking earlier, you and I, you said how, you know, nobody should have to do it the way you did it.
Well, I made so many brilliant mistakes. I mean, I did not pay attention. And it cost me everything.
Well, Susie, I have to say that, first of all, the costing everything probably had something to do with you needing to become the person that you are now or wanting to and having had the experience before. So there was a reason for that other than just making stupid mistakes. But
oh, I believe that my mistakes were divinely guided.
All right, so we're in agreement. Now, the other part of it, too, is that, you know, back then, there weren't a lot of people like you now who can say to people, don't do this and don't do that. As a matter of fact, I would venture to say it wasn't very long ago where if you got a job, you stuck with it until you got a gold watch. So what would you change a career for, right?
Exactly. People
didn't
know they
could. So if there wasn't a Susie Pruden back then, and so you were a pioneer in this without knowing,
I've always been a pioneer.
Were divinely guided to make these mistakes so that now you are here to share this wealth of information for others who have other things to learn, but not necessarily this. You can help them with this part, but the part that they have to learn, they're going to have to do that part on their own.
Right.
But they can't do that if they're stuck in the experiences of the past that others have figured out already. It'd be like reinventing the wheel each time, each generation.
Over and over again, yeah. And we don't want to do that.
We want to move forward. So here you are, having invented the wheel for us in this case, and now you're sharing it with us so that we could go and invent something else.
Exactly. And it's interesting because I never considered myself a pioneer in this area. And it's very funny because I have been a pioneer in everything that I've done since the 60s. And when I opened my school in 1966 in New York City, my fitness school, and I specialized in toddlers, people thought I was nuts. And they said, you know, why are you doing this? Toddlers don't need it. And then, as I told you earlier today, the New York schools started calling me, and the way to get your child into a good New York City preschool was to send them to my school first. And then after that, I pioneered in body-mind technology, and I would talk to people about body-mind technology in the 70s and 80s, and they said, what do you mean body-mind technology? You have a body, that's one part of you, and you have a mind, and two of them don't have anything to do with each other. It's like, excuse me? And now it's everywhere. And then, I mean, so now that I'm doing, I was thinking to myself, literally the other day, gosh, I'm not pioneering right now. That's interesting. I guess I'm just sort of where I'm supposed to be, and then you say I'm now pioneering in this area. What I want to do, and I guess I am, but I didn't know it, is to move people from where they are to where they want to be without causing them to hurt themselves and allowing them to have their lives be what they want and have the abundance that they want in all areas of their life.
Mm.
And to really help people, see, because I'm on the outside, and I can see things that people that I'm talking to, who I'm working with, can't see. And it's not that they're blind, it's just that they're too close to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I have a mentor, because I'm too close to some of my own stuff. So what I do now, and I'm happy to invite any of your listeners to do a free consultation with me, and to see how I can move them forward in an area of their life where they're stuck or frightened or confused.
Is that on the phone, Susie?
Yes, it's on the phone.
I'll be calling you tomorrow.
Well, please do. I'm serious. And as I said to you earlier, I don't know exactly what it is that I do, but I hear. And I hear what the person doesn't say, but I hear what they mean. And it's a gift, and I am blessed to have it. So I use it, and I want everybody to be able to create lives. I was very lucky to be strong enough to go for my dream no matter what was going on in my life. And having lived in a situation where I was between homes. You know, I didn't sleep in my car, but I didn't have what a lot of people consider, you know, I didn't have a regular place to call home. I was always traveling, always staying with somebody else until I finally began to get my life back together again. As I said, it was a freeing experience, and it's part of what made me who I am today. But when you're facing it, it is scary as all get out.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet, and I have to say, I'm actually quite impressed that there was an area of your life where you did have abundance and you maintained abundance, and even though you were this person that you called one who looks down from her nose and all, you had friends, and these are real friends that would allow
they
you to do
this. They were real friends. They are, and they still are real friends. And, I mean, I'd be invited to stay with friends in Hawaii. And I'd go there, and I'd be. I lived in a beautiful condo for 6 weeks in Hawaii. Another friend invited me to New York, and I lived in a 2-bedroom co-op on 22nd and Lexington at Christmas time. And there was a fireplace in this apartment, and it was beautiful. And got to spend Christmas with my son, who was living in New York at the time. It was a magical time, a truly magical time, and it was scary. But it was,
I wonder, Susie, if what it would have been like if you were able to know that some amazing things were going to happen to you later on in life, and that this was the process. And in a sense, you did know because you said, "Thank you, God." But so, if you remove the fear and you just lived it, would that have been possible? And what would that have been like?
I don't know, because I was in it. I have no, you know, it's like. Somebody asked me, what's it like to be the daughter of Bonnie Pruden? And my response is, what's it like not to be? I mean, that was my reality.
Right, because your mother actually was famous, too, and she was a fitness counselor.
She's actually responsible for fitness in America. She created the President's Council on Physical Fitness, and she was my trainer and my mentor. And what all the fitness that I learned from her. But, you know, how do you, I couldn't possibly tell you how it would have felt different than what it was, because it was what it was.
Well, you know.
And I was in the middle of it. And it was a very, I'll tell you, it was a very alive time. I did not dare take my eyes off the road.
Hmm. Well, this is interesting because as I ask that question and you're answering it, I'm thinking it almost is like now, because so many people are afraid now, and yet you say that we're living in a time where there is so much opportunity.
Oh, it's extraordinary. The opportunity that we have now is extraordinary.
So if we were able to take care, take away the fear,
right,
and say this is an absolutely extraordinary opportune time for us,
yes,
then that would create this moment of we'd be able to enjoy it more and say it was a magical time right while we're in it instead of waiting until years later.
We can't wait.
Yeah.
We can't wait. And that's when I was living in that time, it wasn't a question of me. Okay, let's look. What happens for a lot of people is when they become frightened, they can't move. They get stuck. Okay, when I was out there, and it was 8 months, where I was each week trying to, I would arrive, for example, I used to work at Rancho La Puerta, and at Rancho La Puerta I would arrive on Saturday, and I knew I had a room and a bed and meals for a week, and I would work there. And Rancho La Puerta is beautiful. It's in Mexico, in Tecate, Mexico. It's an exquisite spa. And because of my training, I would work there, and I would do body mind stuff and also fitness. And I would arrive on Saturday knowing that I was leaving the following Saturday but not knowing where I was going.
Mm.
By the end of the week I would have another place to go to.
Mm.
That was consistent for 8 months until I ended up renting a room from a friend of a friend and starting a project, and that led to another project which led to another project which brought me back to Los Angeles and led me to another project, and it kept leading me elsewhere. But, you know, it's really like being in the moment, trusting the process. And people would say to me, where do you live? And I'd say, right now, right here.
Hmm.
And there were moments where I literally did not know how I was going to pay the rent. And then I always was able to. And that's what people are going through today.
Right.
Exactly, what people are going through today.
And yet you say that there is so much opportunity. Can you talk about that?
Well, I'm an entrepreneur. So as an entrepreneur, I look at things differently than someone, let's say, who has been in corporate America. And an example would be, let me see. I look at my clients, for example, and I see that they're frightened. So I created I teach hypnosis. I created a certification course so that people who wanted an extra stream of income could become hypnotists and use their skill to help other people and make money at it. And then I saw that not everybody wanted to be a hypnotist, but a lot of people wanted to be coaches. And a lot of people who were hypnotists needed extra income, but they didn't know how to coach. So I started teaching a certification course in coaching. And then I saw that the best way to move somebody when you're working with them to get them to their next level is to combine hypnosis and coaching. So I created a hypno-coaching certification course.
Hmm.
And then I saw that because I've worked with the body and the mind for the last 20 years, I created a course in body-mind technology. And, you know, when you and I met, we met at my marketing seminar. And
right.
The way that came about was I was working with all the coaches, the new coaches, and now the new hypnotists and the new body-mind therapists. They didn't know how to market themselves. So I turned to my sister and I said, wait, we have to create a marketing seminar. So I called up all the people that I know in the marketing industry and I said, would you like to present at my marketing seminar? They all said yes. So I created a marketing seminar.
And you had some big names there.
I had very big names. I chose the biggest name. And you know, it's like before I had my show on NBC, I was on the show The Pride of Your Life. And every week I'd call my producer and say, "Larry, I have a great idea." And every week Larry would say, "Thank you, Susie, but we won't that's not quite the right idea." but keep calling. Every single week, I called him. One week, I receive a call from Larry. Susie, I have an idea for a show. And it was my show. And I said, Larry, just tell me what time and what day, and I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I hadn't continued calling, and he hadn't continued to be open to my calls, that show may never have happened.
Mm.
So people today, you know, it's like I'll talk to one of my, because it's funny, talk to a client, and I'll say, so what do you have to do to move your project forward? And they'll say, well, I have to call so-and-so. And I'll say, okay, so when are you going to call them? Well, I think I'll call them next Monday. This is last week. And I say, why are you waiting until Monday? And they say, well, I don't know. I say, well, what are you doing when you hang up the phone with me? And this person said, this is great. They said, I'm driving to a meeting in such and such a town. I said, great. How long does it take to get there? 25 minutes. What time do you have to be there? Noon. And our call was going to finish at 11. So I said, okay, leave so that you're on time, and when you get there, you'll probably have a few minutes before you have to go off if it only takes 25 minutes to get there. So why don't you call from your car on your cell phone when you get to the meeting? That way, you'll be at the meeting, so you know you're not going to be late, and you can make your call before the weekend. So that's how I work. And I say, you know, basically, so what's wrong with now?
Right.
And a lot of people, you know, they wait. You cannot, in today's market, you cannot wait. Cannot wait. It has to be now. And if you have an idea, put it out there. Just put it out there. Somebody might pick it up. It's like exactly what you said when you began this show. Whatever it is that you're putting out there could dovetail somebody else's dream.
Right.
And if you don't put it out there, they don't know. And if they don't know what you don't know, you know, you can't do anything about.
You know, Susie, on something completely unrelated, and I meant to ask you about this earlier, and I hope it's okay to talk about it, but you seem to be an open book, and you were very big on fitness, and now you say something about, remember you saying something about, oh, I love the way I am better now than I did before, when you were quote-unquote more fit, or I love myself now more. So where was the disconnect? Because it seems that so many of us have that disconnect.
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I'm not quite sure how to answer it. Well, at the time that I was a well-known fitness expert, I was also in a very abusive relationship. So I was continually being undermined. And that happens to a lot of people. And so I didn't know who I was. That's number one. I didn't have any tools. I mean, the tools that we have today are breathtaking. They're so brilliant. When we have all the different programs we can take and the different people we can talk to. I mean, the event where we saw each other last, which was the Napoleon Hill event.
Right.
And there were, 27 top high-level speakers there?
Mm.
27 in 2 days? I mean, that's almost unheard of. That's so many in under one roof at one weekend.
We're growing.
Yes, and continue to grow. And that's the gift. I mean, I go to stuff all the time because I don't want. Well, we don't stop. We can't stop. I didn't have the tools then, and I did not have any experience other than, so you're going to laugh at this, counting to eight.
Is it what I think it is?
Fitness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, people say, why did you leave fitness? And I said, I got tired of counting to eight. But it was, you know, it's like I had another mission. And my mission really is to help, and this is really it. It's to help people achieve their dreams and to keep them grounded while they're going for it, because you can get so ungrounded and so far out when you get, yes, but my dream, yes, dreams are imperative, but you can't be stupid about it. You have to be smart about it. When I went for my dream without any funding and without any grounding, I lost everything. So what I did at this time was I stayed extremely grounded and just quietly, and this may sound ridiculous to some people, but I didn't talk about it. I didn't talk about it except with people who were really close to me. I just quietly held the vision. And then one day, I was at an event that I did, that I do every single year up in Northern California, and a friend of mine there sat down next to me and said, I have an idea for a TV show. I want you to be the mind mentor because of my work with the mind. And I was speechless because it was my dream. And here someone had just sat down next to me and said, I want you to be the mind mentor. In other words, I want you to live your dream in my dream. Exactly what you said. Because it was her dream. And so I was up there at this ranch this spring to tape the first episode. And I had been up there every year doing what I do there. I do hypno-wrap-ups of all the speakers at a very high-level conference. And every year I sit on the terrace and write, and each year I write the same thing. I want to be doing television. I don't want to be doing what I had been doing, which I... And then it was very interesting. It was like all of a sudden I was there writing. I am here now doing exactly what I've been asking for the past 10 years. So I say to people, you know, is that when I was told to give up my dream, I determined not to. And I was in a financial state where most people would say, what, are you nuts? But I determined not to. Because I know how important it is to have a dream.
Well, and it's important to everybody else, obviously, as I started out the show, and here we are coming full circle. And so I'm happy for you and happy for us that you are sticking to your dream and you're living it. And I am happy that I'm living mine and having this opportunity here with you. And let's share with the audience how they can get a hold of you and how they could learn more about you on your website and all that.
My website is www.suzyprudden.com. That's suzyprudden.com. My email address is suzyprudden@gmail.com. And if you want to call and have a free consultation, you can just call me at 310-640-8885. That's 310-640-8885. It doesn't matter where you live. I have clients. I actually have clients all over the world. My specialty used to be weight loss, but interestingly to me, it's becoming about creating your vision, creating your dream, staying grounded, staying real, and having your life be what you want it to be.
Well, today I don't think you could have been any more real with us and the audience, and it has been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to the next time I get to see your face and hug you and whatever else that comes up as our dreams mesh, I look forward to it.
And as our dreams manifest, and all of those people out there, if you've got a dream, hold it. Cherish it. Your dream will take you to your dream.
Absolutely. Suzy Pruden, thank you for being with us on Life Changes. It's been
thank
an absolute
you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Good night.
Good night. That was so much fun. You know, it was hard because I had to hold back. There were so many questions I wanted to ask her and so many places I wanted to take the conversation, because she's such a wealth of information and she was being so magnanimous. But we are on to another segment, and that's our State of the Universe address with Dorothy Lee, and I look forward to hearing what she has to share.
Hi. It's interesting. I had no idea what Filippo and Susie were going to talk about. And Susie hit on one of the major concepts that I share with my clients, and that is to quit judging those things that have happened to us that we thought were harmful or wrong or bad. And I have even made that part of my message tonight. Thanksgiving is only a few days away, and many of us will be joining our birth families and our extended families to celebrate what is meant to be a day of giving thanks for all of the good in our lives. And it truly is all good. I am asking, how many of us have made this wonderful day all about football and food, and how many are truly grateful on this day that has been set aside to demonstrate gratitude? Meister Eckhart once said this, "If the only prayer you said in your whole life was, 'Thank you,' that would suffice." However, are we truly grateful if we just say thank you to one another on the fourth Thursday of each November? In fact, are we truly grateful if we say thank you every day of our lives? Not according to John F. Kennedy, who said this, "As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them." I completely agree with him, and so did the people at Go Gratitude. They began a wave of world gratitude on November 20th, and what an awesome plan they have set in motion. Before I share the 9 agreements with you that they are asking the World Gratitude participants to make, I want to share with you an excerpt from Making the World by Douglas Wood. "There is a secret that almost nobody knows. I will tell it to you if you promise to tell someone else. The world isn't quite finished yet. It isn't quite complete. It's still being made. Everywhere you look and everywhere you listen, someone or something is helping to make the world." And now for the 9 agreements that we can make, and then we can become the someones who are helping our world become a better place for all of us. The first agreement is, "I agree that a world of love and gratitude begins with me. I choose to be a conscious mirror and model of the change I wish to see in the world. 2, I agree to consciously set an intention for manifesting something miraculous in my life throughout this process. 3, I agree to tap into gratitude on a daily basis and as much as possible in every waking moment. I know that the rewards of doing so flow through and extend beyond me, strengthening the collective field of gratitude from which we may all derive benefit. I agree to be a consistently uplifting inspiration in all my interactions in world gratitude. I commit to see and mirror back the greatness of each soul who crosses my path. I choose to discover and nurture the light within so that it may shine forth to others and magnify their life. I agree to honor each individual's right to choose their own belief system and life path. 6, I agree to be open to both give and receive within this community. In all my dealings, I seek win-win, mutually edifying interactions and transactions. 7, I agree to be my word in my exchanges with others. I realize that my personal influence is magnified to the degree that I am able to keep my word with myself and others. If something comes up and I decide to change what I had agreed upon, then I agree to make that communication as soon as possible to the affected party. I agree to love and enjoy my life as much as possible, 8. And 9, and last but certainly not least, I agree to be grateful for me. If you're not already a fan of Go Gratitude, then please check out their websites by going to our links page at www.lifechanges.ws. And please remember that gratitude and thanksgiving are words of action. You can make this Thanksgiving the very best ever by practicing two other action words. One is love, and the other is forgiveness. Although I believed for way too many years that my family put the D in dysfunction, I am now so very grateful for all of the gifts that these very actions I had judged as wrong, as bad, as horrible, have brought me. In fact, I now know that everything I have ever judged in the past as negative were indeed great gifts, and I know that you can do this too. If you're not sure how to begin, please contact me. My phone number is 858-349-8952, and I will help you understand and know that all is good. And once you accept this and you accept the gifts, your life will magically and mystically change. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you have been waiting for. Choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making truly elegant choices, and never forget that you are powerful beyond measure and that you are love, you are lovable, and you are love.
Thank you, Dorothy Lee, with that State of the Universe address. And that is our show. We'd like to thank again Susie Pudin for being our guest tonight and remind you all that you can hear this show again in our archives by going to our website, and you can also hear all of our past shows there at the moment on our website at lifechanges.ws. Next week we'll be having Steve Yaman, who is the owner of Conscience Entertainment Group. They're all about transformational sharing. And so we'll talk about how people, since he's an owner of an organization that helps put on major fundraisers, how the patterns of people's giving and sharing is changing for the better. Remember, keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us on our website or on our Life Changes with Filippo Facebook fan page, or our personal Facebook pages. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWaves Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. And to learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my absolute pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes today. I, along with our producers Dorothy Lee and Mark Lejeune, and our engineer Seth, thank you for joining us and being a part of this show and a part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.